Got the senator in studio with us. Another day off. They give you a four-day weekend around Easter. They try to do that every year. And Senator Jacobson's with us. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So are we getting a lot done? Are we chopping the wood we need to chop down there in Lincoln?
You know, we could, compared to 2023, we could quit chopping today and adjourn and still be further ahead.
We'd be miles ahead if we were 2 years ago. Yes, that was by far the most contentious session, I think, in recent memory for all of us. So we're getting stuff done, and talk about what you've got going and where your bills are at. I know the governor recently signed a pair that you were involved in.
Yeah, that was a unique, the one bill in particular, LB 527, was the MCO bill. It's this is the bill that's the sequel to LB 1087 from a year ago. LB 1087 was going to attract just over $1 billion in federal Medicaid dollars to Nebraska to be used at hospitals. This bill this year, LB 527, would be for non-hospitals and for physical care and Medicaid. So it would be doctors and nursing homes and so on. And that bill would also generate from the net about another $117 million that would actually go to the state itself. And so Governor Pillen was very anxious to get that bill passed. And so we met really right at the beginning of the session, and we he said that's a very important plugging a hole in the budget. So so obviously, with all the cuts happening with DOGE, there was a lot of concern about what was going to happen to Medicaid. We're starting to hear more and more good things about Medicaid. I think Dr. Oz was appointed for that. And I think one of the things that was talked about was with Medicaid. We're not touching Medicaid. But 1087, it's CMS. It's not been finally approved yet. The applications have been in, but we haven't gotten final approval, and I think a lot of it was waiting for this appointment of Dr. Oz. And we also know that from what we're hearing, and I'm just going to leave it at that, we think that instead of 6% in terms of the multiplier, it's going to be 5, so it'll maybe be slightly, it might be 5. And so it's going to be slightly less money, but not very much less, and it looks like it's more likelihood that both of these programs will get adopted and will get accepted at the federal level, and that money will come to Nebraska. But 1027 was signed into law last week, and I got a call from PRO, from Kenny Zoeller, who works for the governor, and PRO is the policy research office, and Kenny said, Senator, he said, we've got to make one slight change in the bill. And I said, well, Kenny, didn't you just sign this into law? And he said, yeah, we did, but we got to make a slight change. And I said, now that's the latest I've ever been asked.
It's already passed.
It's already passed, and I'm being asked to make a change. And so I have filed an amendment on another banking bill that would make the change we need. I think they, on 527, the bill was specific that we would charge a 6% tax on the MCOs on their non-Medicaid premiums. Well, it's probably going to go to 5. So the fact that we're saying we will charge them a 6% tax, we need to make that
it a 5
up to
6%.
So it could be any number in there. So I did file an amendment, just a one-sentence amendment to the banking priority bill. And that, by doing it that way, it also makes sure that my banking priority bill, the other bill that's coming through, is close enough that it will likely get heard, because they're going to need that amendment. So I think it kind of ensured that the package of bills that I've got in that bill will indeed move forward. The So I think that's important. I think those dollars coming to the federal from the federal government here will largely offset some of the cuts that we've taken at the state level. This has been a real challenging year, and I thought it might be good for people to understand that. Wondering why are we dealing with the budget deficit? Did we overspend? Did we overappropriate? You know, what happened? And you're going to hear a lot of outlandish statements on the floor about why we are where we are, but it's really quite simple. During COVID, there were a number of programs, PPP was one of them, that dumped a lot of money into all the states. And that was came in as income. So what happens when you have income? Well, number one, you spend it and you have sales tax revenues. Right. And number two, you have to pay income tax on it. So our income tax collections were over the top, along with sales tax collections at the state level. And it built our reserves well in excess of what statutorily is authorized. So in 2023 and 2024, we needed to spend down those excesses. And we couldn't use, we could use the excesses that came from the budget surplus for tax relief, and so we did. That's when we had passed the biggest income tax cut in the state's history and set us on the path from approximately a 7% top in sales or property income tax to down to 3.99, and that will be fully there in 2027. The other thing we did was eliminate the tax on Social Security, state Social Security. That was big. There was a lot of people that were very anxious to get that accelerated to where you don't pay tax on your Social Security. The other thing we did was we put $1 billion of that surplus that went to what we call the Education Future Fund. And the Education Future Fund is designed to take $250 million a year out of that fund for public education. So those additional dollars were a way to encourage more property tax reduction because they wouldn't be relying as much on property taxes. That has happened largely, but there's also, as you can imagine, not a true dollar for dollar. In other words, $250 million in probably resulted in about $100 million in property tax relief and $150 million of additional spending. But nonetheless, that was a priority of the governor at the time. I would also say that when you look at We try to do things that were going to be one-time expenditures, try to build programs. If we build any programs, to fund them into the future. The ARPA money was also coming out, the American Rescue Plan. And the ARPA money was very, very specific on what it could be used for. And clearly could not be used for tax reduction. So $20 million of that went to Sustainable Beef for the help on the sewage treatment plant. There were a lot of dollars that we were able to. There were a lot of dollars that went to North Omaha, but again, every state had a big pile of ARPA money as well. So we spent through those dollars. I think we did a lot to do what we could to set us up with discretionary dollars to reduce taxes or to be able to put programs in place that would reduce taxes. We also made changes on the property tax credit, so there would be an ongoing property tax credit at a larger amount. People continue to ask the question, well, I'm not seeing until this last year actual reductions in my property taxes. Well, part of that was making the changes on LB 34, where we're seeing an actual property tax credit rather than an income tax credit. I chuckled the other day when I visited the Telegraph and Todd von Kampen about, I'm tired of explaining why I believe that there was no missing year, and I'm just not going to discuss it anymore. I You did get property tax reduction. It did time out to where the timing was almost identical, and there's not going to be a fix. Okay, number one, we don't have $600 million laying around, and number two, we already gave it the office. So if you really run through the math, you'll see that. But nonetheless, we need to keep in mind that property taxes collectively around the state increase by about $290 million a year. Okay, so just looking at what property taxes pay for, cities, counties, school districts, etc.
Right.
There's an increase every year, just inflationary increase that goes on every year, of just under $300 million a year. So if we wanted to, at the state, to keep your property taxes flat, and the local political subdivisions did nothing, we'd have to put almost $300 million a year, additional money every year, just leave it flat. So that's why when people complain, I know Senator Erdman always used to mention that, well, we talk about property tax reduction, but our property taxes keep going up. Yeah, and if we did nothing, your property taxes would go way up. So that's what sometimes people don't understand. Now,
that's all on assessed value, right?
No, it's just it's actually dollars spent. It's dollars spent. Yeah, it's every year we're seeing almost $300 million of new spending. So it's got to be collected either through increases in valuation or increases in mill levy or a combination of the two, because obviously your property taxes are based upon mill levy and valuation. So
okay, so I read an article a few weeks ago about, I mean, we were at $289 million shortfall as far as the state budget. So I know the governor's digging up things that he feels needs to be cut to get us, you know, where we need to be there and not have that shortfall. So where are we at right now with what he's
Well, I sit right in front of Senator Clements, and so we talk daily on, and he chairs the Appropriations Committee. Running the math that they've got right now, if we pass LB 650, which is going through the process, we will, and the other things that are in place, we will balance the budget. We will close that gap. Okay. In fact, there would be $6 million to the good. Now there's LB 197, and that's out there, and that's Senator Brandt's bill. He's got two bills. Those deal with repealing certain sales taxes. These sales taxes would not be sales taxes that would impact the low-income people, and it would not impact business inputs. But pool cleaning, for example, would be going to property tax rolls. Currently, it's tax exempt. So if you own a swimming pool and you hire a pool cleaner, okay, you're probably not poor, okay, and it's probably not a necessity. So those kinds of items we're looking at and saying we probably ought to charge a sales tax on those and use it to help offset property taxes. So that's part, we're probably looking at part of that. So that would actually bring some additional dollars. But this next Friday, the State Forecasting Board meets for the last time before we start budget discussions on day 70. All the numbers we're looking at would indicate that they're likely going to reduce the forecast. And that's what they did last October. They did a significant reduction in the revenue forecast, and that's what took us from a budget surplus or to a budget deficit. It wasn't additional spending, it was less revenue projected. That proved to be wrong, and I think it was $432 million. We actually collected an extra $200 million above the forecast, so it kind of got cut in half. Then we had the federal budget cuts that came back and took us back to about $400 million to the negative. Then working through budget cuts, dollars found under the seat cushions, if you will, and some revenue increases, we're back to a balanced budget. But the forecasting board meets Friday, and we expect that they will lower their forecast. And I said, said to Rob, I said, are we talking $100 million? We're talking $200 million? He said, I think it'll be closer to $200 million. So we're back in the red again. So we've got to find...
You got to find more to cut.
We got to either find more to cut or we got to find more revenue. And our preference is to find more to cut. I mean, there are, believe it or not, things that we're spending money on that we don't have to spend money on.
Really?
Yeah, I know that's a shock.
God, I can't believe it.
Yeah, but that can, in fact, happen. I am getting used to the political math on that if you don't increase above the 3%, you're making a cut. And it's like, no, if we're spending more, then we're spending more. Okay, that's pretty simple math.
Do you get a lot of feedback from your constituents on programs that are cut? I mean, is that something that people are really have their antennas up about or about certain things?
I get some, and I think that it's really kind of people. Many of the constituents that I get emails from, I get a lot of the programmed emails where a constituency group goes out and contacts people and says, tell your state senator, blah, 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 here's a sample letter. So they send me the sample letter. Okay, and so I get all these emails that all start up the one line that shows up on your email.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all identical. Okay, so when I get those, I just delete them. Okay, because if you haven't taken the time to write me about what's concerning you, I'm not going to waste my time reading the same canned email over and over. I'll kind of keep track of how many I get, but there's no need to read them. I do scroll down to see if it was from the district, and in most cases it's not. I don't get a lot of constituent emails on many issues. I do get some Lincoln and Omaha. And then I love this part. I'm your constituent.
Yeah.
No, you're not. If you have a 402 area code, or you live in Lincoln or Omaha.
We used to have a map of your district up here, and I didn't see any real thin line that went to Lincoln, Omaha.
I need to bring you
Omaha.
Another one, because there's a thin line that goes all the way to Omaha, and it gets real big again, just so you know. Yeah.
Are you concerned, though, with the forecasting board? Let's say they cut it by $200 million, so you got to come up with that to balance the budget. Are you concerned that that's going to be a contentious thing, because there's so many different things you can cut, but obviously the divide again between rural and urban and what needs to be cut always comes into play, doesn't it?
I always celebrate when I'm dealing with urban senators and we're on the same page on what needs to be cut.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen too often.
It doesn't happen very often. Yeah. I can tell you that I spend half my time down there playing defense, trying to kill bad bills. And then I spend the other half trying to get good bills across the finish line. People wonder why it is so difficult to actually get property tax relief. And it's really pretty simple to understand once you're down there. Is you have 16 CD3 state senators. And when I count those in CD1 that are considered rural senators, that number goes up. But if you look at Omaha, for example, they can pretty much stop a bill if all the Omaha senators stuck together. And one thing you start hearing more and more about is that they don't like repealing sales tax exemptions because their view, and this is verbatim, why should the urban people pay more sales taxes so that we can reduce property taxes for rural Nebraska?
Yeah.
You hear that all the time. It just infuriates me because they need to remember that roughly 60% of our property taxes are to pay for schools. And the state has in its constitution a responsibility to give every child in the state a public education.
Right.
For free. So.
And then up to age 21. Some
right. Order, and so why are we shirking our responsibility at the state level? Now, I would also tell you that last summer when we brought LB 34, the goal was to try to raise or repeal exemptions for sales taxes for, and that problem was that list was so long, and it got into some business inputs, it got into some things that affect the poor. Well, then it just went right off the rails as soon as that happened. But what we did learn was that there were several sales tax exemptions that are out there that don't, like pool cleaning, like landscaping, like you going down through the list, where they you pay a sales tax on the parts, but you don't pay a sales tax on the labor. Well, as we go to more of a service economy, we're going to have to start picking that up. And I think we've proven at the mall here in North Platte that if people want to buy something, they buy it, and they don't worry about what the sales tax is. That's more of an invisible tax. But everybody knows what they're paying in property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows what they pay in income taxes. That's right in your face. You're right. Writing a check for that. Okay? So I just feel like that if we can remove items that don't affect the poor and aren't business inputs, why are those items not being taxed on sales? And then why are we not using that savings to get, in my mind, if you could get all of the mill levies for school districts down to, say, 30 mills or 25 mills, you know, where you got 105 as a maximum today. Bring them all down to, say, 25. If you do that, you're still doing some local contribution to your public schools, but you're also at a point where everybody could be the same. Because one of the things that's happening today, a good classic example is Shickley, where I taught at one time. My understanding is they've got several classes where there's three kids in the class. So they're hiring a teacher for three kids. And then the school up the road has the same situation. Well, one reason they don't consolidate is because the mill levy differences. There might be 20 mills difference in property taxes. Well, why do I want to merge with a school district that's going to cause my property taxes to go up?
Right.
So you'll sit there and continue to operate in an inefficient setting.
Yeah.
It would free up more teachers. Because you could have one teacher that could take care of that class,
mm-hmm.
and your class sizes would go up. There's just things that we don't do efficiently, and we need to start thinking about that. I do think that I kind of applaud North Platte Public Schools. I think they're taking steps to really control spending. I applaud the superintendent for the steps he did on salary. I think he set the example at the top, and he certainly is doing that. So, but you can only cut so far. Ultimately, we do have to look at some of these consolidations. And it's something you probably shouldn't be saying out loud on the radio, but I, you know, we've gone, I remember when we played 11-man football everywhere, and then we went to 8-man, and now we went to 6-man, and I don't know, we're going to go to 4-man football, and are we going to do 4-man basketball or 3-man basketball?
Hope not.
You know, where do you ultimately, when do you run out of kids? I mean, we got a combination of kids not going out for sports or going out for, like, I think at Broken Bow, I think somebody told me that they had all these wrestlers that went out, and they only had four kids to play basketball. And it's like, that seems kind of unheard of. And so, do the kids get the same experience if you can't actually field a competitive team? And so we've got to continue to look at ways to become more efficient in all levels of government, including the state.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, we, you know, value local control, and I think that everyone's got to understand that if you don't, there's a cost that goes with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Finally, comment on this LB 89, the Stand With Women Act. It's going to be debated in the legislature tomorrow, and your thoughts on that?
Well, tomorrow is our first day of late nights, so where the plan is to adjourn at 7:00. So we'll start at 9:00 in the morning, take an hour break for lunch, and then that debate on this bill starts at 3:00. starts at 3 o'clock, so they can get the hours of debate. I think we're going to do a 4-hour general file debate. You won't see a lot of people on the floor probably when that debate gets underway, because obviously it'll be filibustered. I believe the votes are there to pass the bill, but it'll be a straight party line vote. All the Democrats will vote no. I think all the Republicans will vote yes, but you have Senator Reapy, who never quite know for sure, you know, how he's going to vote on an issue. But I think at this point, it'll probably win, get cloture vote by, it'll probably have 33 votes for cloture on general file. There'll be a lot of debate. It'll get pretty heated. The bill basically deals with two issues. It deals with not allowing transgender people who are born a male, converted, and then they want to do women's sports. That's not going to be allowed. Okay, that seems to be, if the bill were just that, I would like to think that people see the common sense in men playing with men and girls playing with girls, okay, in terms of sports. But then you get into the issue of locker rooms and bathrooms, and that has a lot of other implications because of cost to build them. Are we incurring additional costs on schools and different public facilities? Is there a better way? The North 40 seems to have figured out how to handle the bathroom situation pretty effectively. They're unisex bathrooms, and you go into your own private stall, and probably not a bad setup. Now, I don't know how you do it with locker rooms, but that's out there as well. And so that's probably the more contentious part of the bill. And Senator Kauth is a sponsor, and Senator Kauth can be very forceful and has a knack of getting people a little more fired up, let's say. And so it'll be entertaining. It'll probably be worth the watch tomorrow afternoon. Don't expect me to spend much time on the mic.
not gonna enter the fray on that.
I think I'd rather bring some popcorn and just watch. So I think everybody pretty much knows how they're going to vote. The debate's not going to move anybody. The debate will be pandering to your audience.
For sure. People like to get a hold of you and express their opinion on upcoming legislation to be debated. They can do that quite easily.
Yep, 402-471-2729 and M. Jacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And I get a lot of emails. Christina answers the phone and takes a lot of calls, generally tries to answer them when they call in. And I try to keep her informed on what I'm doing on certain bills, and so they stay pretty knowledgeable about what the issues are and can discuss it with constituents that call in. I do value the input from constituents. The brand bill is probably a good example where the Nebraska cattlemen have come out in support of the bill, but that's not what I'm hearing from my constituents, and so I'm still remaining in opposition at this point.
All right. Senator, thanks so much for coming in and visiting with us, and good luck down there.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Travel safe.